Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, I thought one of the bigger points last night and a couple of your goals anyway was puck recovery. Jackson Jutting's goal, Vinny Corcoran a couple of times gets the puck back, boom, a play gets made and a goal. Flamang's goal, a couple of puck recoveries, boom, a goal. Was I seeing things the same way that you were last night on those couple of plays in particular?
Yeah, it can happen that way. It kind of snowballs in a good way if you're the attacking team. We're pushing the puck north, and so we're obviously, again, having the ability of getting our rebounds. We have so many people on the right side of the puck in front of the net. And again, a lot of it wasn't necessarily puck recovery. It was just more or less pucks coming to spots where we had guys. And I thought it was Vinny. I didn't realize it during the game until I watched it after the game. Vinny, I think two rebounds. Like he first off, he eluded one defender. He got a shot through. He got another shot. I think it might have went off a skate or something. And somebody else got a whack at it. But then Noah made a heck of a play. The biggest thing is Noah Quinn made a heck of a play. New judgments on the backside and gave it to Judge for the open net.
A lot of times you see a team recover a puck, but they're in a place, you know, where they're gambling, for lack of a better term, to get the puck back where they can't really do much with it. And then a lot of times they just turn it right back over. It's a key of, okay, you get it. Let's do something with it too, right?
Well, you got to get the puck to the weak side. And Noah, again, he's had very good hockey sense, and he saw Jutz on the backside. It would have been very easy for Noah Quinn to try to jam that square peg through a round hole right there, and that's what it would have been. Because, I mean, there's probably three or four Augustana players and three of our guys is what I'm getting at. And it would have had to have eyes to get through. And, again, it was just a heck of a play on Noah's part.
Defense, to me, looked really engaged offensively last night, not just in the offensive zone. They were getting the puck and moving it north fast. How important was the pace that they were playing last night?
Well, we have to, and we didn't do that the other night. And we got it. We have to have quick puck advancement, and we have to have second puck quick advancement. And we talked about that. And, you have to do it. You have to advance it quick before they get into their structure.
Tony Fulmer's goal, third of his career. I misspoke at the time. I said it was the second. I had forgotten about his affairs earlier this year. He's not a guy you think of when you think of offense. The world is so enamored with offense right now. You need guys like Tony Fulmer, though, don't you?
Well, yeah, it's not enamored with offense with coaches. It might be with the public, but we understand what wins games and in all sports, and you don't win without the likes of Tony Fulmer's.
He blocked shots. That's one way to that, you know, the general public can kind of equate that. I mean, it's a statistic anyway. You can put a number on it. But honestly, his teeth look like a hockey player, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's a good hockey player. Again, he's got good legs too. He's got stamina. He's long. He can play for an extended period of time, and he does a lot of good things out there. He's very valuable.
How important is that dynamic of you can put him with a guy like Issa where they can both play off of each other? One's a little more offensive, one's a little more defensive, but it works together.
Well, you have to. That's kind of how it's just how it happens. You have to put those guys with, you know, another offensive guys because, you know, he's gonna be there for them, and they're accountable, and they also let that guy, do what he does best.
More with Coach Ceratori when we come back. Corner Bar pregame show on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratori. Tom, what's a game three like as a player? What's a game three like as a coach?
It all depends on the game three. Home, away, favored, unfavored. I can tell you right now, Schultze, I can't totally tell you exactly, you know, what these guys are thinking, even though I played the game a long time ago. Because different things can enter other different people's minds, that's for sure. But, like, to me, I'm playing with the house money. We're the road team. They're the favorite team. Game three is a lot different at home than it is on the road. I can tell you that right now. And, we like where we're at. And, you win that game two like we did last night. Now doubt creeps in. And now there's a lot of thinking going on with that other team right there. Doesn't mean that, again, that doesn't mean that's bad. But, again, that's what happens. But I just think, again, we just have – I just think, again, we're playing a little bit more free. And I just think there's something to say about that as well.
There's been a fair amount of special teams play this weekend already. That takes a lot of guys out of the lineup for a chunk of time. How important is it for you to get productive minutes out of that fourth line tonight?
I don't know. We just got to win, just like they got to win. I can't worry about anything other than winning the game, and I got to coach along the way and figure out what's best along the way.
Extra attacker situation last night, a fairly extended time, two and a half minutes. How do things change extra attacker when it's, say, a minute to a minute and a half to 2.5?
Well, it's crazy, and because you want to get guys off. The one thing you don't want to battle is fatigue, and there's no question. We had some guys out there for an extended period. One was Riley Funk, and the one thing I'll say with our defensemen, they probably weren't quite as exhausted. They were playing a lot tighter to the net, but it's still emotionally draining, and they got to get to a puck, and they got to be so mentally engaged as well. And but it's a long time. It's a long time, and when you're defending, it's a lot more exhausting than when you're attacking.
I want to take a little bit of time here to talk state high school tournament. We talked briefly last night, but boy, a lot of things changed in that AA game from the time we talked to the time that thing finished. Just talk big picture for those that have maybe never been there. Almost 21,000 people at the X for that. If you've never been there, it's hard to explain what that event is like, isn't it?
No, it is. It's a great event, and it's a lot of fun, and it's just what it is. It's a place for hockey people to congregate for, that one weekend a year, which it's just a special tournament. It's been a special tournament since the 40s, and it advanced another layer when the Met Sports Center was built in 67, and that's when they moved from the I don't know if it was in the Minneapolis Auditorium or the St. Paul Auditorium. I think it was in the St. Paul Auditorium. Went to the Met Center in Bloomington, then went to the Civic Center, and then from the Civic Center, went for a year or two in the Target Center, and then, of course, to the XL. And, it's just it's synonymous with Minnesota hockey. And, really, when you think of the state of hockey and you think of Minnesota hockey, you really do think of the state high school hockey tournament.
According to the research of this table last night, Section 8 has won both A and AA, I think, just once. How important is that for Northern Minnesota hockey?
Well, I think it's great. It's just, I think more than anything, it's just great to what we're doing, what we're talking about. I just think it's fun to talk about things like this. And, we don't get a lot of, we probably don't get a lot of championship exposure anymore like we used to, just because, again, it's just the way it is. I mean, the game has shifted down to the metro area. It's where the numbers are. It's where the jobs are. It's where the kids are. And, Moorhead obviously still has a market where, there's a lot of people in the Fargo-Moorhead, metro area, and that probably is one reason why they're consistently at the state tournament all the time and they dominate Section 8, because it's just hard for all the other towns. It's hard for Roseville to sustain it. Bemidji and, Brainerd might have their due, but it just hasn't reached the level of Moorhead. And, so hats off to Moorhead for winning the championship. But, again, like, to have two champions from the state of from Section 8, it's kind of cool.
Talk about two completely different ways to get to a title game, much less win it. Moorhead just rolled through everybody this year. East Grand Forks, heck, they were under 500. Made a run through the section tournament. It's a great thing about hockey, right? You can have two completely different regular seasons, and yet the result is the same.
For sure, and sports in general. But hockey is the one sport where you can actually – you see probably the underdog win a heck of a lot more than the other sports, I think, just because it's just a different type of game. A, you got a goalie. B, you've got, like, you can go on special teams. You can have a, one more person on the ice than somebody else. But then, and then you got the physical component. And then you have the skating component. But the skating component doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good because then you have to have the skill component with the skating component. But our component, excuse me. So there's a lot that goes into it. That's why I think you see a lot of upsets in hockey, and that's why I think I always say it to you, and you hear it all the time, that's why we're the greatest game there is.
Back to tonight, what things that you did well last night do you need to do even better tonight?
I think we have to have better slot coverage. Our first two goals right there, those were self-inflicted, and we have to make sure that it's not hard. You got to get to the slot. You got to stop. You got to look over your shoulder. You got to pick up people. It's pretty simple. And we didn't do that last night, and we almost stubbed our toe because of it.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers, starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.